Good morning. Good morning, planetoid Earth. Good morning to the people of Utah. Wake up, Utah. It's time to get to work. Running those bill collection call centers. Running that wallet factory on the reservation. Growing the hay to feed the horses and the cows. Wake up, Utah. The sun is calling. You can hear it beckoning forth. Can you hear your cow howling in the distance? Screaming forth, come forth, farmer, I am your cow. This is your field. This is a good green Friday of happy joy, joy juice. Because as of this recording, it is 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. On July the 30th, 2021, in the age of Boblimtok, all hail Yorbis, all hail Cortan, all hail Clownadamus, all hail Dr. Freckles. And all Jimsley and Gumbulus. You know what I did too much of in 2020, other than drink beer? Looking back, even with the type 2 diabetes getting better, and all that weak-ass Mormon beer, I have to say that's not one of my real regrets. Nor the weed, not the weed. Probably my best investment of 2020 was marijuana. So it wouldn't be that either. And I don't regret leaving Seattle the way I did. I wish I had the money to pay all my bills. I currently do not. I'm not complaining. A lot of people out there can't. And a lot of people have kids and families and dogs and cats. And the only wretched soul I have to keep alive is me. And that's not that really that hard. Like in some ways, I think I'm a glutton for punishment, or perhaps I amuse God. Like I think maybe that's my purpose. All the dumb, stupid things I do, and somehow I do not die. I live on like I'm unbreakable. Like Bruce Willis, right? I'm unbreakable. Yeah, that's usually what people say right before the Lord in heaven sends them what's called a consequence. Like, I did get a bad case of the sugar herpes. And if you don't know what sugar herpes is, you can translate type 2 diabetes, which I believe is reversible because currently, at an excruciatingly slow rate, because I still don't have the self-control I need. Currently, it's getting better. I'm getting more activity. I'm trying to improve my diet, eating more vegetables. I think vitamins were part of it. I gotta say, I might have had both type 2 diabetes and scurvy, but people will laugh at you. They'll mock you. How can you get scurvy in 2020 Boblimtok? You're not an English sailor discovering the globe. What's your excuse? You can get the Costco chewables. Well, actually, I was saving a lot of those. And I'll tell you why. Because I feared, and it still hasn't happened, and you know what? I hope I'm wrong. I hope a year from now, I can reevaluate my existence, and if you're still listening to this podcast, and by the way, if you're listening on the radio, this is WRMI, 5950 kilohertz out of Miami, Okeechobee, from the swamp, all things shall arise. And it's either Saturday or Sunday night, and it's sometime between 11 p.m. and midnight Eastern Standard Time when the goblins roam the skies. And I mean the old, I think there was an old British plane called a goblin, like an experimental jet or something, I don't know. When those things were. Maybe it was U.S. Air Force, I don't know. Anywho, when I look back on 2020, I have regrets. We all have regrets. I'm not happy about my diet. I'm not happy about the various situations where I felt like I got suckered. And I think just like 9/11, people got suckered. Almost everybody followed the Abraham Lincoln postulate that you can fool all the people some of the time. I mean, it is possible. If you put me in front of a bunch of people, and I've done this before, not proud of it, happened to me when I was 18, but I know that if you put the right person in front of the right crowd, you can get people to do terribly stupid things. It's not right. It's not good. If you have that as a skill, use it for good. Use it to do the right thing. Don't use it to send people on suicide missions. Don't use it to harm anybody. But also, don't be naive. It's too late for that. In 2020, I spent a lot of time with friends and family in conversations where I saw them escaping from one mind screw, one psyop, one kind of Scientology, one cult. They'd escape from one cult, and then they would find themselves in a new cult, and then they'd escape that cult, and then maybe if they're lucky, at the final level of cult transition, they meet Gary Johnson. And maybe at that point, they get to be libertarian. I don't know. That is kind of the final Scientology in America. That's before you get to what I am, which is a believer in freedom, pure and simple, that we should respect each other, that actually, if you want a society based on order, you should look to spontaneous order, because spontaneous order is based on the ecosystem. It's based on what's functional. It's based on what's going to happen in nature. So you're not constantly screwing with nature because you're not screwing with people. It turns out if you don't torture people, they actually treat their world nicer. Did you know that? Did you know that if you don't manipulate people with mind games, they actually care about the planet? Are you aware? So when people say that freedom and ecology are at odds with each other, I just want to say this before I move on, because I'm tired of feeding bad paradigms. If people say that liberty and ecology are at odds with each other, they are crazy. Period. End of sentence. You are insane. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot have an ecosystem that functions if you're constantly doing the central bank game, if you're constantly doing the military-industrial complex game, if you're constantly doing one scheme, one racket after another, if you're constantly issuing money you never intend to back. If you treat the world like a casino, you know what it ends up looking like? A casino parking lot. Hey, kids, you want to go canoeing tomorrow? Yeah. We're going to go to the casino pond. They got lamprey at the casino pond. They got this new kind of thing they call the skunk fish. Everything there is poisonous. Can we just stay home and play simulated reality? That way we get a food pellet tomorrow. We can hang on for that. Listen, folks. Liberty and ecology go together. Whenever you game the system, you get bad results. And if you turn the world into a casino system of management, I guarantee you, all you're ever going to be able to take your kids to see are casino parking lots. And if you think that's the coolest thing in the world, then keep doing the silly stuff you're doing. Keep voting. Keep supporting the police state. Keep throwing people in jail. Keep doing the same things that got you here. Because it did. Everybody wants to play pretend. Oh, we somehow ended up in this multi-layered psyop by accident, or it was a super, super evil cabal, we could have done nothing about it. But think about it, folks. If any of the above is true, that still means the Constitution can't work. You understand this, right? No matter what excuse you come up with for why the Constitution failed, you face the same criticism that any commie should face. Explain to me how it can work. We've seen how it can fail for 200 years plus. We've seen how it failed multiple groups of people. We saw how it failed African Americans. We've seen how it failed people who have or feel they have different genders, how it's failed the gay lesbian community. We've seen how it's failed women. We've seen how it's failed a lot of people. We've seen that. Show me how it's worked. I think that's a fair question. And if your argument is, well, Dan, in this one particular case, this one kid at this one... Listen, I think that Joseph Stalin and Susan Wojcicki of YouTube love their freedom awards that are produced by the people who work for them, because they're guaranteed to win those awards. And our government loves those special legal cases because it makes it seem like they won the freedom award. But actually, you need to look at the whole thing. Not just one shrub, not just one tree in the corner of the plot. Look at all 40 acres, baby. And you tell me that it worked, ever, really. In fact, the only time our government ever worked is when it literally didn't have the time or the resources to do something. So if it didn't have the resources to do something, guess what? It didn't do anything. And this follows the general crocodile theory of government. You might argue that you can have a tiny crocodile. And there are lots of libertarians who make that argument. Dan, can't we vote ourselves a tiny crocodile? No. Because the problem is that crocodile will start using money, whatever resources it can scratch around and find, to hire people to vote for the bigger crocodile. And that particular snowball does get bigger and bigger because it's happened every single time. Okay, no democracy in human history has ever succeeded. No republic has ever worked. No constitution is without failure. The only thing I know that is true is I am free. And I know I'm free either because of nature or as a blessing from God. But in either case, it doesn't come from you, baby. So if you ask me what I did wrong in 2020, one of the things I did wrong is I more or less coddled a lot of people and their broken paradigms. I coddled them and their beliefs. I said, oh yeah, it's okay if you think voting for Trump this time will fix things, or it's great that you think supporting whatever, you know, the woman who thinks she's a Cherokee, and I just, and yeah, you should flip houses. And actually, here's the thing, folks. If you can make money off the casino while the casino lasts, I've never said don't do that. I mean, you know, caveat emptor, right? Understand that you're taking risks and you could lose everything. But if you want to play in the casino and you think you can game the casino, God bless you, because Satan owns that casino. That market, that economy you think is real, I believe Satan currently owns it. So if you think you can beat Satan at Satan's game, then congrats and congratulations. You win the award. You win the Cupid doll. But I think that's foolish. I really do. I really do. I think that's foolish. A lot of people went from understanding that the COVID wasn't the result of people eating monkeys to now the Chinese murder virus. But in reality, that's where the story started. So a lot of people just circled the drain on the COVID psyop. They start out at China. They pass through the intestine of the monkeys and the bats, and it comes right out at China again. So a lot of people ended up on that turning circle, and I understand, because the scarier questions are the ones that have to do with real things, like, what if you lose electricity during a heat wave? I'm sorry, folks, but the wrong heat wave at the wrong time, losing electricity would kill a lot of people in places like, I don't know, Las Vegas, LA, Phoenix, and probably other places too, you know. Like, believe it or not, Seattle. They're not really prepared for this. And it's already happening. So I'm really tired of feeding the COVID-19 nightmare crap. Do I know, okay, let's talk about the vaccine thing. Because if you believe in the monkey herpes psyop, I can't help you. It's not real. It has no value. If you use any proper definition of pandemic, it is not a pandemic. And if you know anything about hospital care, you would know that prior to 2019, lots of people died in hospitals of lots of things that would just be called virus. In fact, there weren't the resources to even classify it. They would just say virus. Sorry. Sorry for breaking your paradigm of reality. The fact is, if you believe the COVID-19 monkey herpes story, if you thought you got the COVID-19 and it's real, I cannot help you. I can't. But there are people who think, okay, Dan, I get that the COVID-19 is a psyop, but they're using the vaccine to poison people. And then I say to myself, wait a minute, buddy. Okay, I understand what you're saying. You believe they are going to use the vaccine to poison people. But think on this. Our government has more or less controlled the food supply my whole life, and going back to the founding of the FDA, more or less. And I think it was the first Roosevelt, Teddy, that founded the Food and Drug Administration. So our government has had progressives, because good old Teddy was a progressive. You need to do your research, Mr. and Mrs. Conservative. Our government since Teddy has had their hands in the cookie jar, so to speak. So if they wanted to poison us with some germ, probably the best way to poison us would be with the food supply. Almost, hands down, number one, especially today, especially with infrastructure breaking down, especially with the situation with clean water and food and everything else, especially today, if they wanted to kill a lot of us, they could do it very quickly with the food supply. And they could blame anything. They could blame a fungus. In fact, they could probably engineer a fungus that they could put in the food and the water. So they've controlled the food supply for a long time, and if they wanted to poison us with some germ, that's how you do it. And you know what? People say, well, they've been doing the slow kill with the corn syrup and everything else and the GMOs, and maybe that's true. It probably is true, but I think the outcome is just a benefit. Like, I think the real purpose was to produce a lot of crappy food to feed a lot of slaves. And knowing that it would eventually kill your slaves in some way, well, I think that's just what they call the cherry on the top. So sure, I have no doubt they've been doing stuff like that. But understand, there's a big difference between slowly killing people and rapidly killing them. And if you're going to use a bioweapon, you probably don't control the speed. I know you people believe that this cabal is infinitely smart and they can do that, but I don't think so. So here's the deal. Let's say they want to poison you with a vaccination. They've been vaccinating kids en masse in this country for, like, certainly after I was born, certainly since the 80s. So why wouldn't they have already been doing it? And if you come back and say, well, they have been doing it with the mercury and stuff, well, maybe. I think that might fit into the slow kill category, but why wouldn't they do the fast kill thing? I mean, they could probably give everybody AIDS, couldn't they? If you control the food, the water, the healthcare system, if you're giving kids vaccinations, why wouldn't you be able to give almost every kid AIDS? If AIDS is a killer virus, why couldn't you give them some particular virus that would give them all cancer? You see, the part of the story I don't understand is how this is supposed to work. If they expect to take something over, like there's some piece of equipment they'll be able to take back, not even take back, just additional things they can steal. If they're going to steal a lot of stuff, I don't quite get it. I don't quite see it. What it does look like is what you do when you've stolen everything you can and you're afraid. Basically, it looks like the con artist on their way out of town. That's what it really looks like to me. And the only question is, once the con artist leaves town, does the city explode? Because the thing is, okay, you got some con artists and all they sell you is snake oil. And the snake oil might kill one or two people. Okay? Like, I'm selling snake oil. Listen, I got snake oil. It's really opium. Opium alcohol. But you'll love it. You'll love it. You'll love it. I call it Texas Delight. And one bottle is one silver coin. One silver dollar. Here you go. Have your Texas Delight. You see, those kinds of con artists might kill one or two people. Those kinds of con artists might steal a little money. But what if you're talking about the biggest grift, the biggest con, the biggest ripoff, the biggest heist in human history? Because ever since the beginning of this nonsense, I've told you that is one of the stories. I mean, whatever else, let's just say what we're going to say that I think is true. This is a robbery. It's just a question of what they're going to do with what they're stealing, okay? It is a robbery. And I think we are definitely seeing the rapid collapse of the American empire. It's just that they're doing a really good job of hiding it. They're covering up with hacking and psyops and all kinds of race war crapola. They're covering it up with a lot of nonsense. But the fact is, things are falling apart. If you have the ability to sense what's going on, if you can tell what's going on out there, as Marvin Gaye might say, if you have an ear to the ground, I think you can tell that the wheels are coming off. And so whatever happens next, what we should be certain of is this. A lot of resources, wealth, human work, and labor was stolen. And you will never get it back. If you feel like you're owed money by somebody, you will never get it back. Maybe you get this month's payment, maybe you get next month. But at some time in the near future, that money, quote unquote, that fiat currency will stop. And then, as it was for most of human history, and as it shall be again, economics becomes fundamentally local again. Food, water, shelter. Food, water, shelter. You need food. You need water. You need both. You need food, water, shelter. You need all of the above. And in the not too distant future, that is going to be the economics. That is going to be the relationship. That will be the basis of your ethics and your principles. It will be local. Because even if we can keep some of this technology going, the empire's collapsing. I have no doubt that there are folks in positions of power right now, either bugging out or, what's more interesting, standing opposed. We don't know about it yet because the system is going to do everything it can to keep that quiet. And frankly, the few governors and sheriffs and mayors that have the courage are probably not ready to act. But the fact is, the current situation is untenable. There is no way for it to work. So I don't know what's coming next, but I know it's not the PSYOPs. The PSYOPs are the hors d'oeuvres. The PSYOPs are really designed to wear you down. In fact, if they're afraid of a civil war, what they really want to do is declare psychological warfare on all Americans. When you really think about it, if you don't want to just murder everybody, if all you want to do is wear them down to a psychological nub, what they have done is brilliant. You have to grant that. You have to. What they have done is absolute genius. Okay? I'm sorry. I don't have another way of putting it. The PSYOPs teams, I believe that we are being exposed to PSYOPs, whether it's the commie stuff, the Ian Miles wrong, the Andy No Clue, the commies of Portland, the Rubber Cone Brigade. I don't care if the synchronized dancing bicyclist team of the Seattle Police Department. You name it, there are many PSYOPs. The Trump thing never ends. That's a PSYOP too, brothers and sisters. That's a load of crap, and Trump is in on it. Oh, I'm sorry for shocking you. The PSYOPs are unending, and they're getting dumber and dumber and dumber. And the explanations are getting sillier and sillier. And every time another factory explodes or a bridge collapses that they can't cover up, it's a hacker, it's a Republican, it's anything but the most likely explanation that nobody in America wants to talk about. Nobody. It's called reality. Things fall apart. If you buy a home and you don't take care of it, it will fall apart. If you have a kid and you don't properly raise it, there's a good chance that they're going to be a terrible person. You don't know. Who knows? There's free will. But the point is, there are consequences. And there's entropy. And there's reality. And the reality is that you can't get away with what's been going on indefinitely. It's not possible. And I know I need to go on to the next topic, but I want to say a couple more things before I move on. I don't think anybody has to feel like they are doomed, because I am not God, and neither are you. The Lord in heaven knows when you will die. The Lord in heaven knows when I will die. I have no clue what those dates are. I joke that I don't think it's likely I'll live to be, 60 years old, but that's just because I just don't see the future where that happens. And that's just me. And I hope I'm wrong. But the fact is, that's life. That's the situation. If someone were to say, Dan, can you give me your optimistic? Dan, give me your optimistic. Give me your optimistic. Your optimistic Zen moment for imagining the coming future. And this is what I would say. Okay, I would tell them, imagine, I'm going to drink a little coffee here because I'm getting cotton mouth. I would say, and I'm sorry about that because I think that was for a while there. Anyways, imagine, if you will, dodging boulders. Imagine dodging boulders. If you want to understand the roadmap for getting through the next few decades and perhaps the next few hundred years, okay? Imagine dodging boulders, coming down a cliff, you're trying to go up a trail, and every once in a while there's boulders, and if you're a child of the 70s and the 80s, like good old Uncle Dan, imagine Donkey Kong. You're going up every ladder, always a barrel coming down. Imagine Mario trying to survive in a world alone by himself. Imagine. If you wanted to understand the way that some crazy person like me sees the future, imagine dodging boulders. And here is your response, and please listen to your response. You say, that's life. And then I say in response to you, you, sir, you, ma'am, have a chance. That's what I would say. I would say, sir, ma'am, come over here for your award. I got a bag of gold. I got a chance in hell. I got a ticket to ride. If you tell me that dodging boulders is life, if you said, Dan, you're full of crap, you're simply describing existence, I would say to you, God bless you. God bless you because you have lived a real life. Believe it or not, since World War II, especially, a lot of Americans have lived in a kind of synthetic reality. It's not real. I'm not saying that technology is crap. I'm not a Luddite. I'm not telling you to say, take your computers and throw them away. I have a wonderful piece of technology right in front of me. And it's not very expensive, but it's beautiful. I could afford it. Guess what? Successful economies that are free, prices go down. They don't go up. Sorry. Sorry, Mr. Keynesian. Sorry, Mr. Crazy Person. Sorry, Commie. Sorry, Zombo Freak from Sector 22. Sorry, people who live in the moon. Sorry to the puppies to be born. Sorry to the kittens that will be tossed in the river. A bunch of cat people just screamed in the night. Next topic. Next topic, Dan. So if you don't know, my partner in crime for this radio project, and again, if you're listening on the radio, this is 5950 kilohertz, WRMI, Miami Okeechobee. This is either Saturday night or Sunday night between 11 p.m. and midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you want to get to the notes for this show, just go to dfgtc.org/show notes. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie. .org/show notes, and you'll get the notes for the show if you pick the right date and Dan isn't late. Because I've been late before. I failed you, listeners. It's a good thing this is free. For you, not for me. Yeah, so anyways, my partner in crime for this project is named Justin, and he's a pretty cool dude. I don't have time to explain to you. I have been lucky in recent years because of the podcast, and I guess this is where I'm so rich for my friends, and this is sarcasm, but you know how in every movie with Jimmy Stewart, and it's Christmas time, and I found out why I want to live, it's a wonderful life. Okay. So in wonderful life terms, I am very rich because in recent years, I've met a lot of really cool people. Most of them want to kind of remain anonymous. Like one goes by Seattle Mike, really cool dude. If you know who I mean by Seattle Mike, he's one of those people who saved me. He helped me. Another friend of mine is an AJ that lives in Florida, and I've done some podcasts with him. So he's another dude who really helped out in a time of need. I have a lot of good friends. You all have probably heard me do podcasts with Jim Davidson, really good friend. He's the kind of person that keeps me, I think, grounded because he's very optimistic. And that's good. We need optimists. We need, especially in the liberty movement, we need people who are constantly optimistic. And he's a pretty optimistic guy. He has a positive message. He's trying to do some really cool stuff. If you want to learn more about that, go to freedomlanddao.com. But Justin and I are working on this radio project. He convinced me a few months ago to take the Little Saigon Report on the road, to escape Seattle, to travel to the Uinta Mountains of Utah, to live in a sweat lodge with three lovely young squaws. Can I say squaw now? That, I think, is racist. Yeah. No, I didn't do anything like that, and I'm sorry for saying squaw, because I think that might be racist. But the point is, I came to Utah, I took the show on the road, and now it's the Planetary Status Report. Now it's about an hour long, because it needs to be for the show to be on WRMI. And now I try not to swear too much. But what's the chance of that, brothers and sisters? I mean, come on. If we're all wagering on the future. Anywho, my partner in crime are doing a project called the Agorist Emergency Network. It is a shortwave radio network that is on the air between midnight and 1 a.m., Eastern Standard Time, on or about 7235 kilohertz. So midnight, Eastern Standard Time, Saturday, Sunday night after the show. If you're listening on WRMI, this would be right after the show. This is Saturday, Sunday night at midnight, Eastern Standard Time, okay, 4 a.m. UTC, right? Go to 7235 kilohertz, and again, this is in the notes. It's in the dfgtc.org/show notes. But go to 7235 kilohertz, and on or about, and the call sign for network control is Dr. Freckles. And if you are a licensed or unlicensed ham radio operator, and you want to test your equipment, test it for functionality, test it in case there's an emergency. Okay, not all emergencies are end-of-the-world emergencies. Sometimes it's just cell phone networks don't work, and you need help. What we're proposing is really quite simple, that we treat 7235 as a voluntary emergency network. That's what agorist means, voluntary. It means other things, too. but we treat it as a voluntary emergency network to share information. And if you're testing your radio, you don't need a license because you can have a shortwave radio for emergencies. So this is for purposes of testing your shortwave radio for emergencies. Just check in, say, Dr. Freckles, this is Hotel Alpha Alpha Oscar Mike checking in to the Agorist Emergency Network. Over. Hey there, Hotel Mike, buddy out there. This is Dr. Freckles. Do you feel happy? Are you in love? Is someone touching you? Are you in love? Over. I might not do it like that, but my point is, it's a network for testing your radio. If you go to the show notes, you can learn more. dfgtc.org/show notes. Next topic. So, I have been trying almost totally without luck in recent... ever since the COVID monkey herpes started, ever since the PSYOPs started, I've had a hard time with doing any creative writing because most of it just plain sucked. I couldn't get my heart into it. I couldn't commit to it. I would do it while I was drunk and high and just not giving a crap. And sometimes it came out okay. In fact, the only series I've been able to commit to in recent months has been this weird-ass Lost Lectures of Charles Manson. And if you go to dfgtc.org/m, M as in Mike, but really M as in Manson. If you go to dfgtc.org/m, you can find the audiobook versions along with linked text of the Lost Lectures of Charles Manson. Yeah, but I'm not really super proud of that one, and it's pretty dark in some ways. So I've got another idea, and it's a weird idea. And potentially kind of racist, too. But racist in a way that I think Mel Brooks would appreciate and the critical race theory people would despise. Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't know what racism is. I've decided that if somebody asks me now if I'm racist, I'm simply going to say, and if you've listened to previous podcasts, I actually have one called I Am Racist. If anyone asks me if I'm racist now, I just have to, you know what? I'm really racist. Are you racist? Really racist. I'm so racist. I was racist in the year of Boblasis. I'm really racist. I might be the most racist person on planet Earth. Oh, are you proud of yourself? No. Or are you ashamed? No. Because I'm not sure the term has any meaning to me. It's used in so many weird ways. I think that probably it's better just to be, you know, racist. But do I hate black people? No. Do I hate Mexicans? No. Do I hate Asians? No. Do I hate people because of the color of their skin or their culture or their gender? No. But I say I'm racist because that way there's no exit from there. Once these witch hunters have labeled you racist, they're either going to kill you or not. And I promise you, they will call all of you racist before this weird-ass French Revolution terror experience happens. Every Robespierre, every fat Danton in a rainbow shirt all of these freaks of the Committee for Public Safety, they'll turn on each other, gumbo freaks. They'll turn on each other. They'll turn on each other. Yeah. So I have this idea for a new book series. It's called Viking Reich. And the concept is really quite simple. I haven't written the first chapter yet. I will give you a hint. The first chapter is probably going to be called The Battle of Edington, 878 AD. But the idea is that during World War II, specifically in 1942, in the year 1942, Dr. Jürgen Prochnow develops the time tunnel. He can send Nazis back in time. Can you hear them? The marching time Nazis? Those time Nazis, as they march back in time, they march back to the 9th century. They march back to Norway. They march back to the Vikings. And they set up the Viking Reich. And that's where the story kind of starts. And you know what? I bet some sci-fi writer or fantasy writer already did this. And if they didn't, they probably will. Because it's a fun idea. It's a messed up idea. But imagine if in 1942, and this is the year that Albert Speer took control of the German economy, because basically everything logistically was going wrong. Kind of like Biden looking for his logistics czar or supply chain, whatever. I don't know. Anyways, Albert Speer actually knew what he was doing, and he started rationalizing the German military production. So if at one point the Germans were making 30 kinds of tanks, instead they would make 5. And this would result in huge gains of efficiency. So Albert Speer was kind of a brilliant guy. And so in 1942, some of the really, really super secret, you know, Thule Society scientific experiments yielded results. They opened a tunnel to the 9th century AD. And they also left behind a time marker. The time marker marked the time to prove it's not a multiverse. No, there's just one Aryan kingdom. Yeah, so in 1942, the Nazis sent a time marker back to the 9th century. They recovered it in 1942 and verified the unified timeline theory and also the offshoot theory of what's called the Kurgenbogen, or the notion of the expanding elliptical now. Now is not now. Now is not yesterday. Now is not tomorrow. Schrodinger's cat, stay in your hole. That man wants to kill you. Stay in your hole, Schrodinger's cat. Yeah. So they figure out that it's not just that they can travel through time, but they can actually change their history. And they did it in a way that was non-impactful. But now they were going to do something really big. They were going to send back maybe 10 Nazi SS German divisions, armored, tanks, logistics, the ability to synthesize biodiesel, German technicians and scientists of the Aufruhrbataken, the Thulean Society super wizards. They were all going back to the 9th century, and Hitler knew that this would be his Gotterdammerung. He knew it would be his end. But there would be Zero Reich, because that's what they called it. They couldn't call it the next Reich. It was Zero Reich. Zero Reich would arise. The Viking Kingdom. The Norwegian King, right? But round about the same time, intelligent, kind-hearted Germans in German society, led by the likes of Sophie Scholl and others in the White Rose Society, said, you know what? We found out about this time project. It's really crooked. They're going to send Nazis back to the Vikings. They're going to go back and have another Reich. They're calling it Zero Reich. Can you imagine Viking Nazis? Anything so horrible? Zero Reich. Best Reich, better than the Third Reich, with Viking Hitler. Viking Hitler. We'll find out who that is in the next episode or two. But Sophie Scholl and other members of the resistance against the Nazis in 1942, they discover this plot to send Nazis back to the Viking times. And they themselves build a time tunnel. And they send back resistance fighters. And so begins the battle of the new timeline. And so expands the definition of the now. And that is how you resolve the paradoxes of Heisenberg and Schrödinger. The word now doesn't mean what you think it means, brothers and sisters. Now is a bolus. Now is a point. Now is jello. Left out all night. Now is a gerbil. Now is a squid. Now is a jellyfish. Shoved up your butt. Now, doesn't that sound painful? Yeah. Because if you think you know how the story ends, you don't. Because if I do this writing project, I think I'll do it as part of the show. It'll be like Saturday night. You know, the title will either be Zero Reich or Viking Reich. But it'll be a one-hour show. It'll be one of the other shows. And it'll be a fictional story about the Nazis sending Nazis back to Viking times, but also other Germans sending back Germans who would just assume they don't win. And the question you have to ask yourself is, if you're an expert in Viking culture or whatnot, which is more likely? Sophie Scholl convinces them to be independent and free? Or some janky-ass Thule Society, you know, drug abuser convinces them to be a Nazi? I think that they'll have problems. That's my theory. And what's more likely is many Germans will turn to the other side. But I don't want to give away an ending, man. Because the bad guys could win. The bad guys could win. I may have just gaslit you, baby. You don't know. You don't know. The bad guys, they got lasers, they got phasers, they got bombs. The good guys, they got smiles, they got hugs. They got 3D printers turning out 9mm gauntlet-fisted gun systems connected to a backpack system of 2,000 rounds of special 9mm explosive pyrotechnic, you name it, fire-starting gumbo. Armor-piercing, baby. And a big-ass knife at the end of those gauntlet fist 9mm cannons. Belt-fed, baby. And a special belt design, all 3D printed by Sophie Scholl because, well, I don't want to give it away. My point is, I should probably do this, I don't know. It's one of those question marks you have in your head. Like, it isn't just, are you a writer or not? I know that I can write a lot. And it might not even be a question of, are you good? Can you entertain? I've had some good emails from people who've read what I've written, so I think the answer is yes for a few. And do I enjoy it? I do. But the problem is, at this point in human history, it feels like whistling in the dark. It feels like a kind of mockery of fate. The right answer, what has always been the right answer, is life is like dodging boulders. Crazy things happen. There are time Nazis traveling through time, waiting to appear. They're gonna bring you Nazi glory and Nazi pain. And Nazi glory and Nazi gold. But they're time Nazis. So you really shouldn't have anything to do with them. If you're listening on shortwave radio, this is WRMI, 5950 kilohertz out of Miami, Okeechobee. From the swamps, the time Nazis will appear. And if you want the notes for this show, go to dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie.org/shownotes. And if you go to that link, you'll get the notes and you will achieve oneness with Zero Reich. And you can become a chrono-Nazi. I mean, but it's bad to hate people. So if you're going to be a Nazi, don't be an anti-Semite. At the same time, it's hard to imagine Nazis that are not anti-Semitic. So why don't we break it down? People probably shouldn't just hate people for really dumb reasons. And if at all possible, people shouldn't hate people at all. I think that's what Jesus would say. And we all come from very different places. Some of us are Vikings. Some of us are Asian. Some of us are time Nazis. Some of us are highly evolved apes. Some of us are looking for love right down the street. Some of us are married to a man named Pete. Some of us want everything at once. Some of us will wait for Prince Charming. Some of us will marry the first dunce. Because that's love. That's love. And that's love in the age of Boblimpdoc. Love in the age of time Nazis. Love in the age of strange warriors. Love in the age of dodging boulders.